Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and I have Sean in studio. This is a show about what matters most in life: our thoughts, our mind, our feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. In this show, I'll bring you the latest research about how we find our partners, and we have a type in finding our partners. And then we'll speak to Dr. Marnie Feuerman. She's a psychotherapist and an author of the book Ghosted and Breadcrumbed: Stop Falling for Unavailable Men and Get Smart About Healthy Relationships. You can call us on the studio line if you'd like to talk to Marnie or I. 951-922-3532. We love to hear from you. And then be sure to listen to my podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and share it with your friends. Send me a note, tell me your beliefs, what it is, some questions that you want me to answer, or some topics that you really want me to talk about or bring a guest. So we'll be right back with the tip of the week.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
So this week, I've been working on and have faced the notion of being in a marriage or a relationship that just no longer works. And yet, so many benefits that make it hard to just say goodbye. Relationships usually begin moving forward from the honeymoon stage to a power struggle stage, sometimes about probably 3 to 6 months. If we really, really push it, maybe a year. Many couples can come through and pass the power struggle stage and kind of like accept each other for who they are, accept themselves, and kind of adapt. Some get really stuck in the power struggle stage, and the everyday power struggle creates a loss of attraction for their mate. The romantic relationship is based on attraction and desire, and when that's gone, the core reason for the intimacy goes away. Now, many couples also like the stability, financial security, being a parent and a co-parent, creating a family and a sense of community within their marriage. However, when the intimacy and attraction and the desire leaves the marriage, what is left is a functional relationship. Not necessarily a joyous one, but a functional one. For many couples, if the functionality and the communication work, then they remain in the comfort, and maybe the comfort at least keeps them happy, of a functional relationship, and may actually prefer it to singlehood. But when communication continues to be in a power struggle stage, which looks like angry outbursts or demeaning remarks, sarcastic remarks, avoidance of topics, ignoring each other's needs, and then there's no comfort left, and either one of the partners or both of them think about ending the relationship, this stage begins a process of loss and kind of bargaining. The grief of losing the relationship plus the loss of the fantasy of the ideal desired relationship that they thought when they actually started the relationship and they wanted to have that from the beginning, but there isn't. So the fantasy is completely lost. There will be still some room for bargaining. If you change the way I want you to be, maybe I will reconsider and stay. However, this test also leans toward a setup for failure. We set them up and they still keep doing what we think that we wanted and just doesn't show up anymore for us. So this process will continue until the negativity surpasses the positivity in the experience of one's partner, and then we call it quit. I have sat through 30 years of this pain with my clients and have gone through this phase myself in my past relationships. It is one of the hardest places to be. At times it appears that staying is painful and leaving is also painful. Fear of harming their children and family members, fear of being alone, fear of not making it financially, fear of the unknown, fear of the people's judgments, fear of never finding their ideal relationship out there, fear of never experiencing love and more becomes the vision of the tomorrow. Who wants to go toward that vision, right? So the pain of being alone inside the relationship, not being seen or heard, not cared for, feeling abused, feeling neglected, and more will create a feeling of suffocation if you stay. So this ambivalence state might take years. And when the pain of one side finally reaches optimum, state that there's a solid decision and action toward the position with the lesser pain. Some couples decide to stay and change all of their expectations and reasons for staying, and therefore adjust and adapt themselves to a new form of the same relationship. Some will jump into an unknown side of the future and move on through the pain of the grief and what was the anxiety of what will be there, and for the hope of better tomorrow. This decision is so personal and unique to each individual and the type of relationship that cannot be categorized to what is right or wrong and what should be done. It's more of what each person is willing to tolerate and what price will be there and what price will they be willing to pay for the desired relationship and to achieve. I worked with people who were being abused in domestic violence by their partner. And we created a transitional housing and shelters. And I remember even after we created the housing, childcare, find them jobs and all of that, they went back. They kept going back to the abuser in the hopes that something would change or that, you know, the relationship would change. Sometimes it took 7 times before someone actually let go of the abusive relationship. And it was the time that no matter what, staying was just becoming horrifying. And the outside world, which they were afraid of, each time they came out, it became more comfortable for them. So then the pain of staying became much more than the pain of leaving. So this is what I found in 30 years, that when you finally get it, that you can be comfortable somewhere else, whether you feel more comfortable in the relationship but adjust yourself, or you feel comfortable out there, finally the decision is made. Because I always ask, like, you know, you can be in a relationship for 10 years. There's then one day that you just say, I'm done and I'm leaving. And I always ask, what happens that one day? And that one day is either like the tolerance is done. I cannot tolerate this anymore. And I need to just leave. But overall, remember, life is really precious with unique moments. So it's here for you to enjoy. So if you're in a relationship that you're really not enjoying, you need to reconsider. We'll be right back with the research.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Welcome back to the Inner Voice Show with Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. That's me. I'm going to tell you about the latest research that just came out this month. If you ever come out of a bad relationship and decide it, you need to date someone different from your usual type, you're not alone. However, New research by social psychologists at the University of Toronto suggests that might be easier said than done. A study published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences shows people often look for love with the same type of person over and over again. So it's common that when a relationship ends, people attribute their breakup to their ex-partner's personality and decide they need to date a different type of a person. This research suggests there is a strong tendency to nevertheless continue to date a similar personality. Using data from an ongoing multi-year study on couples and families across several age groups compared the personality of the current and past partners of 332 people. Their primary finding was the existence of a significant consistency in the personality of an individual's romantic partners. So the effect is more than just a tendency to date someone similar to yourself. Participants in the study, along with a sample of current and past partners, assess their own personality traits related to agreeableness, conscientiousness, extroversion, and neuroticism, and openness to experience. They were polled on how much they identified with the series of statements such as, I'm usually modest and reserved, I'm interested in many different kinds of things, and I make plans and carry them out. Respondents were asked to rate their disagreement or agreement with each statement on a 5-point scale. The analysis of responses showed that overall, the current partners of individuals described themselves in ways that were similar to past partners. The degree of consistency from one relationship to the next suggests that people may indeed have a type. Although the data do not make clear why people's partners exhibit similar personalities, it is noteworthy that they found partner similarities above and beyond similarity to oneself. In every relationship, people learn strategies for working with their partner's personality. If your new partner's personality resembles your ex-partner's personality, transferring the skills you learn might be an effective way to start a new relationship on a good footing. So, if you find you're having the same issue in relationship after relationship, you may want to think about how you gravitating toward the same personality trait in a partner is contributing to the consistency in your problems. Could it be you? It could be that you just have this desire to meet the same person and the particular characters that you get attracted to, and that's what you keep going after, even the ones that you actually think you don't. And I've worked with people who, for example, they consistently go after people who are angry or avoidant or unavailable. And you've seen that maybe they were familiar in that way because it was their family of origin was that. But the great thing is we have a guest who is going to talk a lot about that. And she's Dr. Marnie Feuerman. She's a licensed psychotherapist. She's the author and speaker and a workshop presenter. As a nationally recognized relationship expert, she's sought after media contributor and syndicated freelance writer with content on numerous online media outlets. She maintains a private practice in Florida, and she works extensively with distressed couples and individuals with relationship struggles. She's the author of Ghosted and Breadcrumbed: Stop Falling for the Unavailable Men and Get Smart About Healthy Relationship. We'll be right back with Dr. Marnie Feuerman.
Fujian Zane is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fujian has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fujian.com. That's www.foojan.com. Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and I am so excited to have Dr. Marnie Feuerman with me. She's a licensed psychotherapist, and I have read through her book, which is Ghosted and Breadcrumb. Yay. First, I got the... Hi! How are you?
Good.
It's so nice to have you.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
I kept looking at your book and the name, and at the beginning, when I got the book, I kept looking at, oh, I don't know, I have no idea what that means. And then as I was going through the book, I'm like, oh, how appropriate to have this book, Ghosted and Breadcrumb, Stop Falling for Unavailable Men. So, Barney, how come you wrote this to females only, as if there are no unavailable girls out there and it's only men?
Certainly there's unavailable people in all, you know, both genders. I mean, primarily, and I hate to say this, but maybe a partially marketing strategy. I would love for men to be buying self-help books, but I think the market it really appeals to women, and women are buying those books and they're reading them, and they more readily go for help and admit having issues and problems, and you know they seek help for it. So I think that's a big piece of it, but also, you know, as far as in my practice, and again, I think it speaks to who is drawn to getting help. Women would be presenting over and over again with these kinds of issues. And so I just really felt like I could help women with this. I think women maybe tend to, you know, struggle with it maybe a little bit more. I don't know what the hard statistics are on that. But, you know, I think there's certain reasons, which I'm sure we'll eventually get into as we're discussing this, as to why women seem to get stuck in this maybe a little bit more than men tend to.
With my experience, about 30 years of practice, is all very similar to you. And I also think that the way it shows up is different. I've noticed a lot of people, like in the beginning of the relationship sometime, and again, for everybody who's listening, we are stereotyping a little bit. So yeah, we're talking about a little bit generalization. There's always someone out there that doesn't fit what we're talking about. But a lot of times also women who are not necessarily available show up more within a relationship, like after a couple of months of relationship. And as the relationship gets deepened, it shows up. But at the beginning, many times the desire to be in a relationship shows up much more for women. And then the unavailability of men shows up. So you and I are going to kind of go through the book. Just for you guys to know a little bit about it in what the jewel that is in this book. So the first concept that you go through is maybe it is him. Like if you look at the partner that you're choosing, maybe there are parts that you have, the signs are there. You're just kind of like not seeing it or choosing not to see it. And you came with some categories, like them being married, they're already in a relationship, they're long distance, they have some sort of a personality issue, which they're not, or they come and tell you that they're really not in, you know, into monogamy. they tell you they're an addict, but or you kind of like right after a while you see it. And there are different aspects where you can actually see the signs. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. You know, in the beginning, a lot of times there's a lot of chemistry. And a lot of these guys are they're attractive. Sometimes they're charming. There's something that's drawing you in. And women can get stuck in these, certainly based on their own history, things that they were exposed to. I talk a lot in the book about early family history and where things kind of feel maybe familiar. So even on some level, they might know the person's not healthy for them, but they feel something that keeps them in and keeps them stuck or trying harder or trying to change these people. And so I do go through different kinds of men, again, just commonly what I would see or what I would hear from women. And the running thread, I would say, the thing that's in common in all of them is that they put up barriers to intimacy. So they may play at it, or they may they kind of stay at the surface, and they may even say that they want a relationship or they want commitment, but their actions, as we know, doesn't line up with what they're doing or the way they're behaving. And it's certainly on a continuum. We have guys who just might be a bit avoidant. They're not really in touch with their emotions. Maybe that's a little bit more of the innocent ones I talk about in the book, or they just have there's something going on. They have a crisis in their life. They can't dedicate the time and effort to a relationship. And then we have on the further end, maybe men who are actually mostly abusive, or they're mean, they're cruel, they're doing things to women that are very unkind. And so I go through the whole list, and certainly somebody who has an addiction, they're checked out. They're really checked out. And so I just want women to really be aware of when these guys come across their radar, that it should be more of a danger signal that's sent to them, or a warning signal in their brain, as opposed to, oh, let's try harder, or I can fix this person, or my love will change them, or whatever it is they're telling themselves. And of course, you know, we know the ones that are married, and I talk a lot in the book about that. If they're long distance, or they're committed to someone else, or they're married, certainly they're completely unavailable. But sometimes they're giving somebody, they're feeding them a whole lot of lines, or they're saying, you know, oh, I'm going to be getting divorced soon, or they say I'm so unhappily married, but I can't because the kids are in the house, or they're telling the women all sorts of things to keep them engaged in the relationship. And what's really sad is another element of this that I think women really need to consider. These women have dreams. They want to get married. They want a family. They want kids. And they really cannot waste a whole lot of time with these men who are unavailable, particularly if they're with someone else and just making promise after promise, and it doesn't materialize quickly, is generally what I tell people. It will happen soon. It doesn't happen right away. You could be looking at throwing a lot of years down the drain, and it's a really sad thing for these women.
Very much. And I sense the two kind that you were talking about, one of the concept of someone not necessarily knowing how to, like maybe they were raised in a family that being connected, falling into love, or the kind of attachment or the depth of love that they can experience and share was not there. So their capacity is not high. And maybe those people within a very healthy relationship, which love is there, that the unavailable, emotionally unavailable person who just never learned could come to a space where they can also learn. But the other side of it is where someone is maybe traumatized, or for whatever personality issues, they're not necessarily, they're not available, or they cannot, or they're not capable, or their benefit is not there to be. So they hold themselves aside, and then maybe they harm you also. And you distinguish between those. And this is very important, because I think I agree with you that a lot of times people bargain in these relationships, and there are some benefits in it, so they want to bargain for the other side. And sometimes they just stay too long and they get abused while they do that. A type of a relationship, which this happens a lot, is becoming a partner in an affair. So you definitely go into a long-term relationship with someone who's married, and they keep coming up with excuses. And at times, Marnie, it's interesting because the person who's married might even appear that they're fully giving you their love and their, you know, and love and lust while you guys are together. And this becomes part of that addiction that, oh, he loves me. He doesn't love his wife. And that's why I'm just going to sit here until all, you know, the kids grow up, you know, the illness of the wife is cleared. All the reasons that he's telling me why he's not leaving is clear, because he actually loves me and not the other person.
Yes. And I really want women to be careful about that. It's very easy to get sucked into that. Those relationships are very intense. You know, when you have those moments where you are together, if you're not seeing them all the time, you know, the secretiveness of it, there's different elements that make it quite an intense relationship. It makes it very hard. We're asking people to go against like a feeling they have. And if they're labeling it love and they're calling it love and that's what they think and feel, it's very difficult to just tell somebody, walk away, you know, just go find someone available. So I realize that's hard to do. And that's why I also spend a lot of time trying to help women deal with the emotions and getting out and just a combination of really getting the rational parts of their brain online, along with understanding perhaps their own history that made them drawn to this to begin with.
And what type of history have you noticed that brings women into this space? Women or men actually into the space. And I do agree on this one. There's a lot more women that get caught into this type of a relationship than men. The ratio at least is less when it comes to men who they might have an affair with a woman who is married, but the affair doesn't take long. For women, I've noticed that sometimes they're in an affair for 7 years, 10 years, long term, and they do this completely side-by-side relationship that they move on. What have you found in your practice, and you know, when you talk about it in the book, that happens, or the background or the family of origin or internally, for women who stay in a relationship with an unavailable man?
Sure. Well, attachment science gives us a lot of good information, and attachment is about the quality of the relationship that you had with the people, the family you were born into, that your caretakers. Usually it's your parents, most commonly the mom, but doesn't necessarily mean it has to be the mother. But it's who responded to your needs, both not just your physical needs, but your emotional needs. Who helped you make sense of what was going on around you? And what was the quality of that care? How reliable and consistent were those people that were supposed to take care of you? So often we're finding that it wasn't so good. There's a good chance you had somebody in your life, either your mom or your dad, who was perhaps emotionally or physically unavailable. Perhaps they had an addiction themselves. Maybe they suffered their own trauma. Maybe there was something less intentional, such as one of your parents got ill and maybe he was out of commission for a while. So that's not bad intended, but it still impacts you. We also know that if there was any trauma, divorce, abuse of any sort, all of those things are going to impact your view of self, your view of the world, how you expect others to behave and treat you. So all of that impacts your romantic partner choice. And we didn't always know that. When they first started looking at attachment patterns, they looked at them through children, and we started to notice, because they're set pretty early, those patterns. And we didn't know till later on that your attachment system gets reactivated in adult romantic relationships. And so we see a lot of that stuff that you experienced early on come to life. But it lies in our, what's called our implicit memory, which is our subconscious, or what some people refer to as your unconscious mind. So it's back there. It's just we're not so aware of it. And so we need to develop that awareness and connect these dots and these things that have happened to us so that we can also be making much better choices in our romantic lives.
Barney, have you also noticed, this is something I noticed, which on many of these type of unavailable relationships and affair, although it appears to be a suffering or around not having a full-on relationship, but I've also seen for sometimes because there is not the structure that a marriage holds, which within that structure is there's a lot of responsibility. Many of these men have a responsibility within their system of marriage, and then the affair just appears to be just pure pleasure. So they get to experience their full-on emotion and put out their experience here. And for many of these men, women who have stayed in these relationships, they're like, it's okay, I don't have to have him, but the times that I have, it appears to be a quality. So they kind of like settle for less than. So they settle for one piece and like, okay, this is so good. And I don't worry about the responsibilities. I can take care of myself. It's even better not to see him. So this type of a way that they settle for this puts them in a position for a long time to remain in this type of relationship.
Yeah, I mean, the woman is getting the best, the guy at his best. They're not seeing the whole other side to things. They're not living with them day to day. And I think if you don't see someone day to day pretty consistently, and also that you're included in all aspects of their life, you're kept hidden, you're kept pretty much compartmentalized apart from, you know, whether it's his parents, his brother, his best friends, you're not getting all the information you need to make a good decision about this person the rest of your life. You have to see them in every capacity. So you're missing a lot. You're missing a lot.
So pretty much all of these end at one point, because even no matter how much you bargain and try to settle for less, at one point there are going to be areas that you're missing, and you're going to end it. So the point is, you come back and you're like, wow, I wasted 7 years, 10 years, 1 year, how many? So this book is a lot more about, hey, don't waste your time. Start looking really early to look at, get to know yourself, get to know the other person, and look at what it is that you need to do and when is the time to break up. So when is the time to break up, Barney?
When I think if you felt like you've exhausted your efforts, but I don't want those efforts to go on endlessly. So if it's the case of, let's say, the married man, I mean, this is generally the way I would tell people, because just like I talk about in the book and like what you're saying right now, the odds are not great of it working out. But if, let's say, you meet the person, he's married, and it starts off on that foot, you should see that relatively quickly the efforts to get out of that marriage, if he's saying it's a bad marriage and I am getting divorced, it should happen soon. So we're talking maybe a few months, and he should be out and he should be seeing if this relationship is going to work with you. In other circumstances, let's say it's just someone where you're starting to see he maybe fits the profile of being one of those emotionally unavailable men. I am all for direct communication. You know, I want people to say, yeah, this is what I want. This is how I envision this relationship happening. Do you? What's the answer you get? And you really have to listen to the answer. And then if you think that you're not getting enough from him, or something's not right, or he's not emotionally connected to you, then you can say, I think we need a little help. You know, maybe we should see a professional. Maybe we should go to a workshop or read some books. Are you willing to do that? If you have somebody who's willing to change and make the effort and grow and learn with you, that's what you need to know. You don't want someone who shuts it down, maybe turns it around on you, says something like, oh, it's not me, it's you, or you're the crazy one, or I'm fine, or I'm happy the way I am. Whatever it is, listen to the answers. And if you have a willing partner to make the changes you're requesting, even if it's something like, hey, I don't really feel emotionally connected to you. I feel like our relationship is a little maybe more on the superficial side or something, and I'm wondering what that's about, or I'm wondering how you see our future. Are we on the same page? Just open up and talk about it. And I know that takes a lot of risk, but I would rather you take that risk and know exactly what you're dealing with so you can make really intelligent decisions about your life and your future, and not just hang out endlessly in an unsatisfying or unfulfilling relationship, or one that's really going to end up being a dead end for you.
And I think that the duality of, we have this gut feeling that says something to us, and then yet anytime maybe we tell the other, the unavailable person, they'll come up with some excuse or they'll tell us something. So we go by what they're saying, but our gut feeling says something else, or because it's not happening. What we want, we're not saying it. We're not asking, because if we think that if I ask it really quickly and directly, that I might lose the other person. So obviously I'm not going to do it. And then resentment builds, and anger builds, and fear builds. You have a chapter about how to listen to your own emotion. You give people guide in, what to do. And it's so important to take both sides. Like, if I just think that I'm in love with this person, to also see the fact, is that coming back to me? Is it reciprocated? Is it the same type of love that I'm requesting? And if there's a part of me that is like, ugh, this thing is just not working, but the person keeps telling me, oh, it's going to work, or just wait another 6 months, another 6 months, another 6 months. How many of these 6 months am I going to go while my heart says and my gut says, this is just not the one, he's not going to come through? So distinguishing between what is my feeling and what is reality is very important. Say more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly our feelings can sometimes steer us in the wrong direction, and we do want to think rationally and logically about things. But your emotions, I think, speak to your deeper needs, what you need in a relationship, whether that's, most importantly is probably someone that you feel like you can count on, someone that has your back, someone you know will be there for you if you need them. The gut piece that you're paying attention to is whether or not you really feel that. And most people can answer that really truthfully and honestly. And it's pretty black and white for people. Yes, I can count on this person. They're consistent. They're reliable. They're really engaged. Our goals line up. They're transparent. Little behaviors. When they say they're going to call, they call. And if they don't call, they apologize. And they give you a legitimate reason. You know that in your gut. And you don't want to deny it. And you don't want to try harder to just grab onto this person if they're pulling away and pulling away and pulling away from you, because that really drives people, I think, into a very negative dynamic, a very negative pattern. It kind of looks like a seesaw. So the more you pursue, the more that person distances, and then the more you maybe pull away. It's just a dance that I really encourage people not to get so stuck in. You want somebody who, when you pursue, when you reach out, when you show them that, hey, I want to talk to you, or I need something, or there's something I want you to listen to, or I had a bad day, you want that person to step up and really hold that for you and validate that. And if they don't do that, and they don't do that consistently, and you definitely want to pay more attention to the actions and the nonverbal stuff than the words. Because that's the truth as well. So I really want people to, try to develop the self-awareness and self-analysis around that. Are they being maybe very irrational? Are their expectations too high? And they may need to bounce that off of somebody, maybe a therapist or a friend or people who know you really well, who can maybe tell you, yeah, hey, you're being really unrealistic with this person. Or, yeah, you are being, you're constantly needy, 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 and you need to back down. So getting that feedback, I think, is important as well.
And also the unrealistic expectation that if I finally decide that I'm going to let go of this relationship, that it will be painless just because I made a decision that I need to leave. So I'm not going to go through the grief or the loss or the pain. And the minute that I go back and I feel really the pain, I'm like, see, I need to go back to him, because like the pain shocks us. It's like, what? Why am I feeling painful when I knew that it was the wrong decision to stay? Therefore, if I'm having this pain and I'm missing him this much, then obviously the right decision should be that I would be back with him to minimize this pain. But there, you know, every single breakup and a loss has its own process that you got to go through. And you also talk about how to tolerate, how to be with that pain while you let go, like any surgery that you have, anything that goes, you know, you have to recuperate. And the same type of when we look at, you know, surgeries, we have to recuperation time, and there might be pain that we actually have to handle. Even women, when they do surgery for good stuff, like for their beauty, they still go through the pain. They have to go through the recuperation.
Yeah.
But if they also look at the emotional recuperation, we got to hang in there. We got to hang in there and pass through this and cope with all of that. You do talk about coping strategies, and you put this acronym, Get Smart. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. The pain that you just talked about is the biggest slippery slope for women, for anybody, actually, men, you know, men for that matter too. It's very hard to break up with someone when you know they're not right for you. You are going to experience pain, but you're also experiencing growth. And there's also hope that you are going to find the right person. And there's a really, really, I want people to stay very, very, very hopeful about that, because it's easy to start to feel hopeless or think, oh, you know, even though it was bad, I think maybe I can tolerate it, or, you know, maybe at some point it will get better. And I think if you made that decision to break up, that was probably the right decision. And so, yes, you do need to go through whatever you have to go through to get to the other side. And so there are a lot of strategies that people can use to tolerate the pain, or another word that we call it is emotional regulation. So the emotions you're experiencing are completely normal. And it is a pretty, you know, probably a fairly predictable grieving process you go through, and you won't stay there. But to experience immense sadness and to feel lonely and some of those things, I think is normal. But there's a lot of things that you can do to move forward and to also learn from whatever that experience was, and to make sure that your life is very fulfilling, regardless of whether somebody is in it or isn't in it. And so maybe it's time to do an inventory and see, like, have you made your life, you know, do you have a sense of purpose? Do you, you know, have hobbies? Do you have friends? Have you eliminated a lot of that stuff because of the relationship and because that became front and center? And so, yeah, there are a lot of things to do. And I would also encourage people to, if they feel like they are making bad choices, or they made a bad choice, or they have a pattern of bad choice, if they said, oh boy, this is the third narcissist I picked, or third addict I picked, I would strongly encourage those people to get a little bit of therapy, because that's exactly what we do, right? We help people figure out and make these connections, perhaps to their history, to their family stuff, to a lot of different things, so that they can really make much better choices for themselves and not get stuck in a repetitive sort of, you know, groundhog day of these types of relationships, and they can move forward.
Right before you came to the show, we're talking about this latest research that showed up about everybody has some sort of a type, and they do keep returning back and finding the same type of people. There's also this concept of when you grow, your type changes because you change. So if you were yourself unavailable because of the family of origin and the way your mother and father were with you, then, you know, as you go to therapy, as you change that space, when you really get to know how to even be intimate with yourself and be authentic with yourself and open yourself up and actually grow in many of those, and not only in the internal process, but also learn more skills of communication and how to handle somebody's when they trigger you, and know how to back off and know how to respond so that you don't escalate issues versus, you know, being having a straightforward conversation. Those really also help you that the type you get attracted to is going to completely be different. I think, you know, age changes, but age doesn't change if the internal growth hasn't happened. Yes, we're going to age externally, definitely. We're going to age physically, definitely. Yes. But if we really don't take care of ourselves and awaringly take care of ourselves in that way, then we are kind of doomed about no matter who we're going to choose, it's going to be from the same side of us, which is going to probably create the person who's out there. So I totally agree that taking care of someone, taking care of yourself, changes also this habitual concept of going. So getting to know some of the reality symptoms, like what's out there, and don't justify it in your own head. Really look at what your gut feeling says, and really look at what the behaviors out there are. And is this something where you plan? This is something exactly where you want it, or which most probably isn't, then looking at, is it them or is it you? And if it's a them, then, you know, awaringly you can find yourself saying, okay, this is not the type of the person I want. I want somebody else. So then I'm going to shift to find the person I want. If it is me that I keep going back to these type of person, then maybe I need to upgrade myself. I need to yeah. take care of myself so that I can be attracted and attract the other type of a person who I say I want. And this is the process that you are really showing the readers of your book, The Ghosted Breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You talked about the goal setting and the coping strategies. Is there anything you want to share with the audience about that? You had more of the goal, you know, the goal orientation. What is it that you want? Learn how to emotionally kind of manage yourself, shift your thoughts and patterns, become aware, and become aware of how you've loved before, your parents loved before for you, that you created that. Creating the reaching out to other people, getting support, and really shift your behaviors and your thoughts. So what else would you like to add to that?
You just did like the most amazing summary.
that was great. I read your book.
I can tell. You know, look at it as if these things work synergistically. They also, you can also pick and choose the things that you think work best for you. You know, I think I may mention something in there like, you know, mindfulness or mindfulness meditation or, you know, these emotional regulation techniques. But you can pick and choose what you feel like works best. And I would say you want to try lots of different things. I would say just be open-minded and say, okay, here's something I haven't done. You know, don't poo-poo it or say, oh, it may not work. You know, for example, this, you know, I talk about self-soothing. And some of these things sound pretty simple, but they're amazing, like emotional regulation techniques. It could just be like taking a bath or doing some deep breathing or journaling, smelling some scents that you really like. So there's these go-to things that I want people to go to when things get tough for them. So when maybe loneliness or sadness or obsessive thoughts and rumination gets the best of them, that they have these different options to go to and they can try and see which ones work. And support is really, really important. So you are going to want to take this time to reach out to your support system, and you can let them know why. You know, you could say, you know, I just broke up with somebody and although, you know, I think it's the best for me, I'm really struggling here. Can I call you? You know, if I'm having a rough time, I think I want to dial his number. Can I give you a call? And I would say, don't isolate. You know, get out there, do fun things, go out with friends, make yourself, even if you don't feel like it, you kind of have to put the cart before the horse with a lot of these things, which means that don't wait till you feel like it. So if you don't feel like exercising or you don't feel like meeting that friend for coffee, I say do it anyway, because you will really surprise yourself that it made you feel better. And so we don't always know that right when that feeling comes up.
As you were talking, I realized that many of these people inside the relationship, which they, when they are upset about not getting what they want, they probably go a lot to their support system and they nag and complain and nag and complain. And many of them lose their friends because it's just they don't want to hear it, because the friends will give them the advice. And so, you know, when we're not emotionally invested from outside, we can see it. And it's like, what are you doing? So they keep coming back and telling, what are you doing? You should leave. You should leave. And when the person is not leaving because they're ambivalent, they don't want to leave yet, they're still bargaining about this thing, they haven't come to that space, many of the friends are like, I just don't want to hear it anymore, because what's the point? And at the time then that they do actually break up, they feel alone. It's like I've lost all my friends. And the point is, trust me, they will be so happy that you finally did what they
rushing back.
Yes, they will. Just call them and say, guess what? I realized what you told me. I did it. So I need help now for you to support me through the process so I can contain myself with the pain that's going through, build myself up, and, you know, to be in the community again in that way. So that's definitely helpful in all of that. We got a couple more minutes. Anything that we haven't talked about yet that really, really is in your mind and you want the audience who are listening or viewing us to really get about the book itself, your experience throughout these years as a psychotherapist, as you've seen, and your practice?
Yeah, I would say both professionally and personally too, because I'm somebody who really struggled with a lot of things. And when I do these vignettes in the book, some of them are my own stories woven through. And so I really had to do exactly what I'm saying, you know, in the book and get
You've been there.
I have been there. And so, you know, I really want to instill hope in people that you can make changes, you can figure this out, and you deserve someone who's, you know, really loving and wonderful and healthy in your life. You deserve a relationship like that. And so I don't want people, you know, settling for less than that. And so I would say that, you know, it is very possible. And I would say keep your focus with that.
Absolutely. And the same here. I've been in those type of relationships before. And at one point I just decided I'm going to be unavailable emotionally. And I've gone through that phase also. And I know that until I realized and I really worked on myself to look at who I am, and I had to upgrade the way that I operated and then upgrade the vision of the relationship that I wanted, that I didn't land really the one that I want. So thank God I did, and I finally landed the one I want. Thank you so much. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for writing the book to help people out there who are needing it. Everyone, Ghosted and Breadcrumb, Stop Falling for Unavailable Men and Get Smart About Healthy Relationships, Dr. Marnie Feuerman, and you can find her at
Dr. Marnie Online, DrMarnionline.
Beautiful. And for all of you out there, it was great to have you with us. Create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. And we'll be with you next week. Bye-bye.